This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back for 1 week only. Buy one and get one of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm free. Order at EdenPureDeals.com, code word Howie BOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa.
Before Russia attacked, we made sure Russia had javelins and other weapons.
Russia could end this war tomorrow by withdrawing its forces from Ukraine, wrecking its international borders, and ceasing its attacks on it, its inhumane attacks on Russia.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
We'll let the record show that Mr. Raskin could not answer the question.
Let me start with this. My last name is Raskin.
That's right, Mr. Doback.
Call me Robert.
That's right, Robin.
Robert.
You don't have to add the S.
Do you know who I am?
Bush.
Okay.
Can we just see the cannibal tab in your book?
There's no cannibal tab.
But that bone in his nose, Ron. Maybe he likes to smell it. Look, fellas, he's a sissy cannibal. What do you mean my Uncle George is a sissy cannibal?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Who would have thought it would take longer to seat a jury in the Karen Reed murder case in Dedham, Massachusetts, than it would to seat a jury in the Donald Trump non-crime case in New York City. The jury, the 12 jurors have been seated in the Trump trial, but they got to pick a few more alternates on Monday. But there's still four jurors that have to be picked, regular jurors that have to be picked in the Karen Reed case. Joining us now to discuss what's going on with the case is Aidan Kearney, a.k.a. Turtle Boy. He's the blogger who's been covering this. He's been outside the courtroom, outside the cordon sanitaire, the 200-foot area where you can't protest or you can't say anything. Aidan, are we going to have opening arguments on Tuesday now? I mean, there's no court tomorrow, so they'll pick the final jurors, or should pick the final jurors on Monday, and we'll have opening arguments on Tuesday. Is that the way it looks?
You know, that's what it's looking like right now, Howie, or possibly Wednesday. We'll see. You know, like the first day they picked four, then they picked seven yesterday, and then they only got two today. So you never know. I sat in on some jury deliberations yesterday. I saw 40 jurors go up, and not one of them got picked. Not one of them got picked. It's hard to pick. You know, this is a very educated jury pool, Howie. Accidentally, I don't know how this happened. You know, I write about this a lot. I publicize it a lot. A lot of people read it, and next thing you know, the population's highly educated. So a lot of people are just coming into this, and they already know about it. I mean, I didn't mean to do that. It's not a crime to educate the population, Howie. They're trying to make it into one, but here we are.
Yeah, I know they talk about a media frenzy. It wasn't really much of a media frenzy until the last few weeks. I mean, it was basically you. I mean, for most of the time, the media in Boston was giving it a good leaving alone, as we always say. Let me ask you about this jury list here. The witness list. And I'm familiar with the witness list. I was on Whitey Bulger's witness list, and he was just trying to keep me out of the courtroom. Me and several reporters from the Globe. And I mean, this is a huge list from the defense. I mean, how many of these people do you really think do they really want to call John O'Keefe the victim's father, do you think? Or are they just trying to keep him out of the courtroom like Whitey was trying to keep me out of the courtroom?
Well, there was a motion to keep the family in the courtroom, even if they are called as witnesses. But I had heard rumblings, and I have no data to back this up, that John O'Keefe's father was having second thoughts about, you know, Karen Reed's innocence, and was even thinking about sitting on her side. And I have no way to back that up. I can't confirm that. But he hasn't been to a lot of court dates. And I know that he was somewhat closer with Karen Reed. They got along pretty well. And if you sit here and absorb these facts, you know, the whole time, how can you not reach that conclusion? So he could be called as a character witness that, you know, because the whole case against Karen Reed is going to be she's a bad person. She's an angry woman and gets in cars, runs people over the middle of the winter. That's what she does. The dastardly Karen Reed. And so I think to counter that, they're going to have to show that she's not a bad character. And if John's own father has good things to say about her, wouldn't that be something? I don't think they're going to put him on the list if they haven't spoken to him.
So, I mean, so how many do you really think they're going to call most of these 70 witnesses that they've put on the list? I mean, I know some of them are pretty obvious, like Colin Albert be, you know, I mean, he's not going to test. Yeah. Again, we go back to the Bulger trial. They call witnesses that, you know, would have, they were going to take the Fifth Amendment. So they just said, don't even bother to come in because they were involved in murders.
Yeah, well, you know, these people claim they're not involved in murder, so they allegedly have nothing to hide, so why wouldn't they come in? And Colin Albert's not the sharpest tool in the shed, so who God knows what he'll say on the stand. God knows what Jennifer McCabe will say on the stand, but a lot of these people will say on the stand. But I think the strongest witnesses, and I wrote about this today, Howie, are at the end. They're the expert witnesses. They have four experts that are trained in the field of accident reconstruction and injury causation, three of whom have PhDs, all of whom were hired by the FBI, and all of whom are going to testify that John's injuries could not possibly have come from being hit by a car. The Commonwealth has exactly zero witnesses that actually want to talk about the accident reconstruction and the science of this, about how his injuries could have been caused by this car. Instead, they want to talk about some trip to Aruba a month prior in which Karen Reed was rude to some, you know, salty woman from Pembroke who are real mad about it still, and they want to talk about what a horrible person she is. That's going to be their entire, you know, case against Karen Reed.
Well, I would assume the defense is going to object to that testimony as immaterial, Your Honor.
Yeah, I mean, so Karen Reed could be as mad as she wants. It doesn't matter. It doesn't explain dog bites on the arms, Howie.
Right. Well, I see here one of the witnesses is from the UC Davis Veterinary Lab. I assume that's going to be a witness that's going to be testifying that she suspects Chloe, the missing German Shepherd, is responsible for those marks on the late John O'Keefe's arms.
Is that a defense witness or a Commonwealth witness?
That's a defense witness. Terry Kuhn, K-U-N.
Well, they didn't have, you know, they never got his arm tissue DNA. That disappeared, so they never got that tested. They got some clothes tested, allegedly. Of course, Michael Proctor is the one that submitted the samples, and they said that there was no dog DNA on those. So we'll see what those come back. But the bottom line is, Howie, those accident reconstruction guys are the most important witnesses because they are they're going to convince the jury that this guy could not have been hit by a car. And if he wasn't hit by a car, the Karen Reed didn't kill him. End of story. She's going home. She's not guilty. And honestly, what I think is going to happen with this is I think the feds are just giving them the rope to hang themselves. And they are going to see how far is the district attorney's office going to go with this? Are they going to present evidence in court that the FBI knows that they know is bunk? They're going to see how far are they willing to go with this game of chicken? And who wants to get indicted?
But I don't see anybody here I'm looking at the list from the defense witnesses. We should probably tweet this out, actually, Emma. We should tweet out these defense and the prosecution witness list just because they're kind of interesting for people that don't have them. But I don't see Josh Levy, the U.S. attorney, or what's her name, Cohen, who's the U.S. the special agent in charge of the Boston FBI office. Why aren't they on the list?
I'm told, and I've heard conflicting things about this, that they have some sort of they can't talk about an ongoing case. And so, but what do you need them for when you have the experts that the FBI hired that will tell you that John wasn't hit by a car? You got them. They're just as good. So, you know, if John wasn't hit by a car, Karen Reed didn't kill him. End of story.
So I'm looking at the Commonwealth's list now, these prosecution, and they have police officers, and the first name on the list is Michael Proctor. I know they don't have to call him in this order, but you know, if they put him on the stand the first day, I mean, there would be fireworks right after the opening arguments. There would be fireworks right out of the box because he'd have to be cross-examined and he'd have to be asked about the internal investigation that he's under right now from the state police and from internal affairs.
You'd have to be asked about a lot of things, about why he lied to the state grand jury, about not knowing the witnesses in the case, about why he was offered a gift by Julie Albert on the day that Karen Reed was arrested as a quote-unquote thank you. why he didn't investigate anyone inside that house, why he didn't disclose that he's known Colin Albert for 18 months, why he didn't interview the plow driver until after something called Turtle Boy, tracked him down and interviewed him for him.
That would be Brian Loughran, right? Loughran? Brian Lucky Loughran? That's him, right?
You're learning it, Howard. You're getting all the names down. Trivia's on point right now.
I know.
It takes a while to learn all these names. But
I know. I'm getting it.
He's going to have a lot of explaining to do. And I think any juror sitting there, they're always talking about, oh, you're trying to influence the jury. I don't need to influence the jury. The facts are going to influence the jury. They're going to look at this the exact same way I did, with an open mind going into it, and they're just going to realize, no way, absolutely no way, something's up here. And they're going to reach the same conclusion that we all did.
I see number 66, Norfolk. Well, we'll talk about Norfolk County District Attorney Michael Morrissey. Can you stick around for one more segment, and we'll ask you about Michael Morrissey? I have a feeling he's not going to testify. That's a hunch. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with Turtle Boy for one more segment. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. We'll be right back. He's Howie Carr, and he's back.
We retweeted some earlier postings with the list of witnesses in the Karen Reed murder trial that's going to start next week. And the prosecution and the defense witness list. The prosecution's list isn't as long as the defense list. We're also going to post the lists on our website. If you're not on Twitter, you can just go to HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com, and get the entire list. With us for one more segment here is Turtle Boy, Aidan Kearney. He's the blogger who's involved in this, and he's been following the case from outside the courthouse because they're keeping the public away, 200 feet away from the courthouse. Aidan, what do you think the chances are that Morrissey is going to be on the witness stand? They may try to call him, but what do you think the chances of him getting on the witness stand are, the defense getting him on, the prosecutor?
I mean, how can he just refuse it? I mean, they're probably going to call him. Why wouldn't they call him?
They're going to try to call him, but they're going to say, well, he's part of the investigation, and you know he has they'll come up with some defense, you know, what the immunity or something, or he's part of the case or something, I would think.
I'm sure they got something up their sleeve, Howard. They always do, but they don't want Meatball on the stand. He would not be a good witness for them, because he's going to have to explain his August 25th statement about why he said that Michael Proctor has no personal relationship with any of the witnesses in this case. And then it came out a month later in a story that I published that Jennifer McCabe is at the Proctor's house on September 25th for a social visit. And for posting about that, his office then charged me with felony witness intimidation. So he's going to have to explain why he just got up there and lied to the people, why he vouched for the credibility of witnesses, which he's not allowed to do. And, if his case is so strong, why does he need to do that?
You know what they're saying? All the commenters on social media are saying, well, why would Morrissey, you know, a hack in the twilight of his career, why would he risk his entire legacy, maybe even going to prison, to protect a bunch of low-life townies from Canton? They're saying he doesn't even know these people. Does he know them or not?
That's a million-dollar question, Howie. That's the million-dollar question right there that I've pondered with the whole time. Why does this guy – because he could easily just throw these scumbags under the bus and just say, not my party, you know, which makes me believe, a guy like Morrissey, who in 2013 falls asleep behind the wheel of a car after he says he passed out from eating pizza, and he just, sometimes that happens, Howie.
I'm familiar with that pizza place. They also serve other things other than pizzas.
Yeah, they put roofie flavored pizzas, I guess, they have there at that pizza place. And in Milton. And he crashed his car, and he's driving along. And so a guy like that, you wonder what kind of lifestyle he leads. You know, I got his phone number out. I called him on the show one time. I called him at 11 o'clock, and I got his wife on the phone. I couldn't believe it. She answered the phone, and I said, is he home right now? Can I talk to him? And she said, no, he's not here right now. I'm like, it's Tuesday night at 11 o'clock. Where is he? Is he out partying? It makes me wonder what kind of lifestyle this guy is leading. And when you lead that kind of lifestyle, you know, what kind of things have you seen and done? And what kind of things does somebody like, I don't know, Brian Albert know about you? And what kind of things can they hold over your head? It makes me wonder about stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. Is Brian Higgins on their list? He's not on the prosecution list, is he? But he's certainly on the defense list here. Brian Higgins is the ATF agent by the way, what does this proffer mean from the feds? I mean, I know what it means in organized crime cases. Is it the same thing? They offer him, he tells what he knows, and the proffer is he tells what they know, and then they try to negotiate a deal. But he apparently doesn't have a deal, but he was negotiating a deal with this proffer. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, that's what David Yannetti threw in there at the last hearing, that he's at a federal proffer, which, you know, to my understanding, what I've researched about federal proffers mean that you are either a charged defendant, which he's not, or somebody who is a suspect in a criminal matter. And you
agree. You say, here's the stuff I can testify to, and I'll testify to this if you'll give me a reduced sentence or you won't prosecute
me.
That's my understanding from writing Hitman with John Matarano. That's always explained to me by Johnny, and he had a proffer.
Yeah. So suppose they go to Brian Higgins, who's an ATF agent, and they say, look, we got your cell phone. We got these texts. We know that you lied to the grand jury about this. You're looking at X amount of years in prison unless you come clean. And then as soon as he got that subpoena in April of 2023, Higgins just stops talking to the McAlberts. And he doesn't return Brian Albert's phone calls. And Kevin Albert, the Canton police detective, Brian's brother, has to reach out to him and say, hey, what's going on, buddy? You still on the team? We're getting a little worried about you over here. And I got Jill Daniels on the phone, who was the sister-in-law of Chris Albert. I think she was hitting the sauce one August night, and I get her on the show, and she says to me, oh, what about Higgins? Why aren't you talking about Higgins? And it was very clear that these people don't trust Brian Higgins, and they because he wasn't returning their phone calls.
So you think the proffer has been agreed to and signed, and that he is now cooperating with the feds? Or was it just in negotiations and the negotiations fell through? I mean, that's the big question, I think.
I mean, it's my understanding that if you're on a proffer, that you've already come to the terms.
Yeah.
You know, you made your deal. You know, you're looking at a lot of years.
It's like speaking off the record, though. That's my understanding of a proffer. You say, here's what I can tell you, but I want these terms to give you up all these bodies or give you all this evidence. That's the way I understand a proffer. And they have, both sides have to agree to the proffer. And I don't know what Yannetti said in court about what the status of it is.
Oh, he just kind of shoehorned it in there and didn't make a big deal out of it. He just mentioned a federal proffer, and you had to go back and listen to it. And it was kind of the biggest bombshell of the whole.
It's a big deal. It's a real big deal. So where can people go? Where are you going to be? When are you going to be on social media next?
PBDailyNews.com or check me on Twitter at Dr. Turtle Boy.
At Dr. Turtle Boy. Thank you, Aidan Kearney. Turtle Boy. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
You made it through the cold temps in February and the rainy weather in March. Now the longer, warmer days are finally on their way. Spring means more flowers and sunshine. Unfortunately, it can also mean more pollen and allergens. Right when you're looking forward to opening your windows to let that fresh air in your home or in your car, you suddenly realize the sneezing's about to start. Luckily, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is here to eliminate any allergens floating around in the air. And with a 3-pack special, you don't have to move your thunderstorm from one spot to another. Put one in your house, one in your car, and one in your office, and you're good to go. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE and the number 3 to get the 3-pack. With the thunderstorm, you can enjoy this beautiful time of year without having to reach for the tissues. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE and the number 3.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. 508 says, this guy sounds like a lawyer, a federal proffer is king for a day. If you're getting a proffer, they've got you cold. You lie, they throw you under the jail. Yeah, but it's more than that, too. I think my understanding of it, again, I don't know a lot about proffers, but I spent a lot of time with Johnny Matarano, and they wanted him. He had all the he could solve like a lot of murders going back to the 60s, and they wanted to solve all these murders, even the ones he wasn't connected to. And so they started negotiations on what he's going to tell them, and you know what kind of deal he's going to get, and who he's going to have to testify against. And so a proffer. It's spelled, by the way, P-R-O-F-F-E-R. If you want to look it up, a proffer. And so they wanted him to testify against everybody that he'd ever been with. And he said, "No, I'm not a rat. The chapter in the book Hitman is you can't rat a rat out a rat. He would only test. He only said, "I'm only going to testify against the rats. I'm going to testify against Whitey, Stevie Fleming, Whitey's partner, and Zip Connolly, the crooked FBI agent." And the Fed said, "That's not good enough. You got to testify against more." So they said, and again, this is negotiations that are going on. This is what this is. It's a negotiating process. They said, "You got to testify. We're going to put you, we can't put you down for just three guys when we got you for 19 murders. You're going to only testify against three guys. We're going to put you, you have to testify against all the Southie guys, too." And so he said, "I didn't do anything with them." And they said, "Well, it'll look better if we have you test. You're willing to testify against Hogan he wasn't going to testify against Knee. Some of the other guys that were involved, the minor characters in the mob." And so he said, "Okay," but it was only three guys. So, and for a while it broke down, and they threw him into Otisville, I think it was, the federal prison. They put him in the hole for 90 days as part of the negotiation process. So let me just give you the definition. We'll take some calls here in a moment. I'm just trying to explain it a little bit, my understanding. And again, my understanding may not be perfect here. Most commonly, this is from a law website, this seems pretty accurate to me. Most commonly, proffers are a prelude to cooperation. That's the key here. Higgins is probably going to cooperate. The individual is under investigation or has been charged with a crime or wants to offer information to law enforcement authorities in exchange for some benefit, such as dropped or reduced charges or an agreement for a lower sentence. In Matarano's case, he got 7 years. That was the deal for his testimony against the three guys, Whitey, Stevie, and Connolly. However, law enforcement authorities do not know whether the individual is going to give truthful information or if the information will be useful. An informal proffer allows the individual to give some bits of information so the law enforcement authorities can decide whether they want to offer formal cooperation. Again, this is what Matarano did. In other words, a proffer can be like an auction to determine whether an individual will be allowed to cooperate with the government. And again, the only reason we know that Higgins, the ATF agent who was involved in this and was getting calls the night that John O'Keefe died, is that Iannetti, the defense lawyer for Karen Reed, mentioned this, and it was a bombshell. And Turtle Boy was on that night with me, and I proffered. The word just went over my head. I hadn't thought about it in years, you know, because again, I don't cover trials on a daily basis, and this is the way they set up trials. This is before the trial starts. That's when the proffer agreement, the proffer negotiations are going on. So it is really a bombshell here that Iannetti, the defense lawyer, says that Higgins, a federal agent who's admitted, according to Iannetti, has admitted to lying to a state grand jury about what happened that night, and then told the federal grand jury that he had been untruthful to the grand jury, the state grand jury, that he's trying to negotiate a proffer. 844-500-4242. Another 508. A federal proffer is the feds tell you they've got you cold on X, Y, and Z, and you accept the proffer and you get no or reduced charges if you answer everything truthfully or if they indict you, and you will not offer or accept any leniency in sentencing. You admit to anything that's truthful and only face their offer as to maximum consequences. They lie, they bury you. I'll give you an example of how they bury somebody who lies. They gave Cadillac Frank Salemi a proffer. He was the mob guy. He was Stevie Flemmi's former partner. He was big time organized crime. And so he got a proffer and he testified against all these people. He was set up by Connolly and everybody. But he lied. His son was involved in a murder. His son, who's now dead, had AIDS. He lied about his son's involvement in a murder of a nightclub owner in Boston, and they came back and they got him, and Salemi died in prison. Because he if he'd have told the truth about that murder of that guy in his the nightclub owner, he would have died a free man, but he went back to prison. So they do, if you lie after they've cut a deal with you and they catch you, they will bury you. And you will be taken out in a box, as Larry Bayona used to say. 844-500-4242. 339, only three guys. I like five guys more.
Yeah.
See, but he was, well, it the proffer said he was going to testify against everybody in Southie. But he hadn't done anything with anybody in Southie. It was like a trick, you know. It was a technicality that he only had to testify against the three guys that had really double crossed him. Michael, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Michael.
Hello, Howie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Well, first time caller.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. I'm here to tell you that Mr. Turtle Boy is putting the cart before the horse with the Karen Reed case. You see, for some time now, he's been talking about this case. But you see, a critical eye like myself, I have a question for him that I want him to ask Karen Reed whenever he gets the chance, when he sees her outside with his phone. How about he ask her, when she left the house at 5:08 and when she arrived at Jennifer McCabe's house at 5:30, that's 22 minutes. Every single location with this story, the waterfall, 34 Fairview, okay, all of these locations are so close to John's house. So my question that I want him to ask her is, where did she drive to?
I don't know the answer to that question, Michael.
I know that.
There are other questions that you know, like what happened to the video, the surveillance video at the Canton Library? Why did it why did the crucial minutes disappear? Why did the surveillance video when they towed her car into the Canton police station? Why did that surveillance camera suddenly fail? It's rather convenient, isn't it, for the prosecution that they lost exculpatory evidence, or what will certainly be presented to the jury as potentially exculpatory evidence. Thanks for the call, Michael. 844-500-4242, 508. You also typically only see a federal proffer when the feds think you're the key to bigger fish. Very good point. Very good. Yeah, they're not giving a big time gangster a chance to a proffer to rat out people who worked for him, who were his numbers runners, or you know, broke into and stole the catalytic converters. It goes the other way. You trade up. And a federal agent, an FBI agent, in the case of Zip Connolly, that was a way of trading up. They wanted to get Zip Connolly really bad. And they wanted to get Fleming and Bulger, too, because they had embarrassed the feds, obviously. Terminally embarrassed them. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. 339, do you think they're proffers when it comes to charging Trump? No. I mean, you know, what are they going to charge the give a proffer to the maintenance guy at Mar-a-Lago and say he told them to move the papers? I think we already know that. I don't think there's these cases are also are so jerry-rigged and bogus to begin with. I mean, that's the thing about these. You know, like a case like the Bulger case or Karen Reed, they're dead people involved in this. There were actually people killed. I mean, there's none of that alleged in any of the Trump cases. This is all nonsense. 844-500-4242. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Howie. Earlier you were talking about the migrants in Massachusetts. And I just yes. wanted to throw some figures out here. All right. So we know Spinelli's has been
10
offered
million.
A contract.
Yes.
Yes, but $64 a day adds up to $64 a day times 365 adds up to $23,360 a year for a single migrant. $23,000 for food.
Yeah.
Let's just say that migrant is single and lives in a hotel room at $150 a day. That's a conservative estimate. That's $54,750 a day. So if
the Senate Chairman of Ways and Means, Mike Rodericks, he has said that they're spending $932 million this year. And does anyone think that's the real number? I mean, and that's the best number that they've been able to come up with. The administration has no idea how much they're spending. So you figure he's the closest one to an honest figure, and it's not honest. It's like got to be $1.5 billion or $2 billion, doesn't it?
During Baker's administration, I was told by a state rep for legal and illegal immigration, we're going back 6, 7, 8 years ago, we were spending about $2 billion a year to deal with immigration. And the other thing that I left out about that was the health care, the free health care, as well as the dental. That doesn't include the legal advice, which you cannot find an immigration lawyer in Massachusetts for under $300 an hour. I have a house in Brockton, okay? It's a low-rent district. I get it. Now, that doesn't include the NGOs that are giving these people, these migrants that are so-called asylum seekers, anywhere from $800 to $2,400 a month. I cannot find an accurate amount on the internet that is telling me.
They're also getting I've got the list, which they've never, you know, they've never given us a full list. They gave us 65 no bid contracts, one of which was Spinelli's. We're trying to go through. It's very slow process going through this. But you know damn well there's a lot of no-bid contracts, and I don't think the Herald is the only one going through this stuff. I mean, the media isn't what it used to, aren't what they used to be, obviously. But there's going to be more stuff turning up. And Spinelli's, the two women that run the place, they're both from Rockport, 170, 166. They've given Mara Healy a total of $5,200. $5,200, and in return, I'm sure there's no coincidence, there's no connection, but they get a $10 million no-bid contract. Isn't that nice? Isn't that swell? You know, just like the new climate control chief in the city of Boston, $195,000 a year. He gave $3,250 to Michelle Wu. His wife gave another $1,000 to Michelle Wu, and now he's got a job for $195,000. Wonderful. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Listen to the Howie Carr Show from anywhere.
Egads, what sorcery is this?
Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click listen to start streaming Howie live in crystal clear high definition.
I'm whispering right in your ear. Buzz, 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 buzz.
The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
We just posted the list, the on HowieCarrShow.com, the defense and the prosecution witness list for the Karen Reed trial. It's a very interesting interesting list. 844-500-4242. Isn't there a state auditor to look into these no-bid contracts, or an inspector general? Yeah, there is an inspector general. There's also an auditor. The auditor is, I assume she's got somebody looking into it. She's more concerned about getting the all of the financial records of the state legislature. That's her that's her obsession right now, because she used to be in the legislature and she was an aide to the legislature, Diana DeSoglio. I would vote for it if I was still a Massachusetts resident, to release the give her the rights to the legislative audit list. But it's much more important to find out how much money is being spent. And I understand that someone just pointed out, I said that guy was trying to make it out to show how much they're spending on each one of these illegal aliens. But you can't really tell anything because they're getting everything thrown at them. I mean, I think the best way to look at it is just to see what's available to them. And we put that out at HowieCarrShow.com. And I've written about it in my columns about how much, and the state has never denied any of the benefits that we've put out there, you know, through sources. They won't tell us. It's too appalling. They get women and children, infant WIC money. They get welfare checks. This is in addition to the free room and board, the free motel rooms, the three meals a day, the free dental, the free medical, the free clothes, the free shoes, the free tablets, the free cell phones. They get everything, the free lawyers, the applications to apply for SSI so that they can get on federal relief programs. They get everything handed to them. We don't have time to take another call. David wanted to talk about homeless mass citizens. They could only be so lucky as to be illegal aliens. That's the bottom line. They're moving more illegal aliens into Lowell than they were today. They're trying to consolidate them. I don't know what they're trying to consolidate them for. I'd like to consolidate them back in Port-au-Prince and Caracas. That's where I'd send them home. That's what, they don't belong here. They belong somewhere else, in my opinion. 844-500-4242. Back tomorrow on Howie Carr.
Young man, eat him up.